And tomorrow we will focus on St. Augustine, but it's sort of appropriate that this reading from today's gospel, where Jesus speaks about staying awake, ties in with the text of Holy Scripture that Augustine looked at from Romans 13 that so prompted his heart. And that reading says something to the effect of, "Now is the time to wake from your slumber and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's this very key connection for Augustine to this invitation to be awake. But thankfully, he had a mother who was indeed a wise virgin. And as according to our story, not literally a virgin because she was married. But the point with Monica was that she continued to live a life of vigilance, a life of clear attentiveness. Let me tell you a little bit about her story. We believe that she was born around the year 331 AD in North Africa. It's just around this time that Christianity has become legal. And while her parents were not Christian, she had a nursemaid who was. And in her childhood, the nursemaid was able to introduce Monica to Jesus. And she became a follower of the Lord at a young age. She married a man, she was given in marriage, to a man by the name of Patricius. And not only did she get Patricius in the marriage deal, she also got Patricius's mother, who was quite a handful. The mother was very kind of negative towards Monica, and Monica had to extend great charity to her. Well, both Patricius and his mother were not Christians. And Monica had to think, how do I live in the tension of this relationship? There's a beautiful verse from 1 Peter chapter 3 that I think in some ways encapsulates how Monica tried to live her marriage. And there our first pope counsels. "Wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by the wife's conduct, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." And indeed, Monica was known for her conduct, for the purity and the reverence of her life. She was known to be a great peacemaker. She had a way of bringing together people who were at odds with one another. And as she continued to live this part of the Beatitude, to be a peacemaker, by the time her mother-in-law died, her mother-in-law came to Christ. And soon before her husband's death, when St. Augustine was 17 years of age, he also confessed Jesus as his Lord. But then there was Augustine. Augustine, whom Monica deeply loved. Augustine, who was a man of great intellect and had great potential as an academic and a scholar. And what grieved Monica through the late adolescence and throughout Augustine's 20s was the fact that this man who had been taught the faith but had not been baptized as a baby because his father didn't want his baptism, he was going farther and farther away from the Lord. Monica understood that what the Lord wanted for Augustine was his sanctification, as St. Paul speaks of in today's first reading. And so she continually prayed. She knew that she didn't have the academic and the intellectual wherewithal to try to persuade Augustine, because in the area of brains, he had more than she did. And so what did Monica do? She continued to pray. And like many young sons, he thought, man, I want to get some distance between me and mom. And so he gave her the slip and left North Africa for Italy. But this is a mom who was undeterred. She then got on a boat subsequent to Augustine's leaving and also went to Italy and settled in Milan, where St. Ambrose was the bishop. And he became Monica's spiritual advisor. And indeed, under the teaching of Ambrose, Augustine finally became a Christian. And here's the thing about the story. He, Augustine, was baptized at the Easter Vigil in the year 387, the same year that Monica died. And so there's something about this woman's life. that she prayed and prayed and prayed for her husband's conversion, and then he died. She prayed and prayed and prayed for her son's conversion, and then she died. But listen to what Augustine says about his mother's death in his Confessions. He describes the grief and weeping that he experienced, and then writes, "Now gone from my sight, who for years had wept over me, that I might live in your sight, my God." Isn't that lovely? "Now gone from my sight is she who wept over me," as he is now weeping for his mother, "so that, God, I might live in your sight." She died a very happy woman, and she said as much to her son. She said, "I have no more reason to be here," because her other son also came to Christ. When we think about Monica, she understood so clearly the emphasis of today's first reading, that our sanctification is paramount and the sanctification of our children is paramount. To that end, she lived like the wise virgin. Yes, maybe at times being tired, but always keeping the lamp filled. What's the oil of the lamp? It's grace. That she always lived in a relationship of grace. And what's the trimming of the wick? It's that intentional living a life of obediently following God. She understood that in her son, it would only be the Holy Spirit who could awaken a longing in Augustine for God. And indeed, when he was 33, he became a Christian. He would die at the age of 74 and become, perhaps next to St. Paul, one of the most influential theologians of our Catholic tradition. Beloved brothers and sisters, there is nothing that is more painful for a devout parent than to see your wayward children. Monica understands this and invites you and me and us to be a community that continues to truly persevere in prayer, and again, by embodying in how we live conduct that represents the very character of Jesus. 10 years after his conversion, Augustine wrote the Confessions. And in this quote that I would like to read now, he reflects back on how he now is able to see his life. Listen to these beautiful words. "Late have I loved you, beauty so old and so new. Late have I loved you, and see, you were within me, and I was in the external world and sought you there. And in my unlovely state, I plunged into those lovely created things which you made. You were with me, and I was not with you. The lovely things kept me far from you. Though if they did not have their existence in you, they had no existence at all. You called, you cried out, and you shattered my deafness. You were radiant and resplendent. You put to flight my blindness. You were fragrant, and I drew my breath and now pant after you. I tasted you, and I feel but hunger and thirst for you. You touched me, and I am set on fire to attain the peace which is yours." Wow, like so many young people, Augustine was just so attracted by the world and everything in the world. But he finally got to that point where he realized, this will never satisfy me. He sought for being inconsequential, and that brought about the change. There's such opportunity, beloved people, for us as the people of God to form St. Peter's more and more into a place that is kind of like an incubator, so that those can discover, particularly we pray more young people, that everything that the world says is going to satisfy you ultimately will not. And it's only the deep conversion of heart that St. Augustine expresses here that can bring people to Christ. So in conclusion, never tire to pray for those in your family who, from where you sit today, appear to be far from Jesus in the church. For God's will is their sanctification. May Monica inspire us to be like the wise virgins, attentive to the Lord's coming in our lives and in the lives of those for whom we are praying. Saint Monica, pray for us.